My name is Julie Shapiro, and I'm a Senior Policy Director with Keystone Policy Center. I am also a facilitator for the Honeybee Health Coalition. And so Keystone is a nonprofit really focused on helping diverse stakeholders reach higher common ground on a lot of different challenging issues in society. And one of our efforts is Honeybee Health Coalition, which is a collaboration of nearly 50 different organizations working together to support bee health. And the Honeybee Health Coalition includes beekeepers, farmers and producers of both pollinated and non-pollinated crops. It includes agribusinesses, inclusive of seed and chemical companies. It includes consumer-facing brands, NGOs focused on bees and conservation more broadly, as well as ex officio agencies. And we have members from both the United States and Canada. And together, all of these different partners are looking for ways to support honeybee health in the context of productive agricultural systems and thriving ecosystems. And we do so by focusing on key factors that affect bee health. It's really a multi-factor problem. So we look at hive management, including the pests and disease that are a problem within the hive. We look at pesticide exposure from crop fields, and we look at forage and nutrition as well.
A new national survey coming out talking about the change in colony losses over the past couple of years. Can you share a little bit more about those results and what's been happening?
Yeah, and to be clear, this is really the work of the Bee Informed Partnership, and they do surveys every year. So it's not the Honeybee Health Coalition's own survey, but it's something that we all look to as a coalition as an indicator for how things are going for honeybees in the U.S. And so we always look forward to the BIP data, as well as forthcoming data from the National Agricultural Statistics Survey, to see what are the trends. Are beekeepers losing more or less colonies over the course of a whole year or over the course of the winter period or summer period? And what does that tell us about how we're doing as a broad group of organizations and interests that are focused on bee health? And so what we saw this year from BIP's data that was released separately today was that this year's numbers really were not as good as last year's, which is concerning. And we know there's fluctuation from year to year, and there are different things that might affect that. But we do look at the trends over time. And part of the reason the Honeybee Health Coalition came together is that over the past decade or so, when you look at overwintering losses, they are averaging, as much as 30% or in that area, as compared to what beekeepers historically have reported to be kind of acceptable losses of 10 to 15% over winter. So when we look at that, we see opportunity, for folks to come together and keep working on these issues. And we also, really, really think about what are the impacts of these numbers and these trends on our pollination services, on the ability of beekeepers to, provide the food and support the food production that we rely on so heavily. We know that overall honeybees aren't going extinct, and colony levels are not decreasing dramatically, but beekeepers have to work really hard to split their colonies and make up for these losses. So those are all things that the Honeybee Health Coalition really looks for solutions to help improve.
A multifaceted approach and some of the strategies to overcome these losses. What are some of the ways the coalition is working together to improve the honeybee health overall in the colony?
Yeah, and you really hit it on the head when you talked about the multifaceted nature. The coalition has approached these problems by looking at all these different issues that I mentioned previously, pests, pesticides, poor nutrition. We work in each of those areas individually, working on providing best practices for beekeepers, for crop producers, and helping provide input and guidance on the establishment of forage, and then how to bring all these different practices together in integrated ways. So that, at a very high level, are different ways that we're working. And, specifically, we have lots of different initiatives going on. We've provided a tools for Varroa management guide and accompanying demonstration videos for beekeepers to look at how they can can fight the varroa mite, which is a major issue. We also helped coordinate a $1.1 million effort around looking at new ways to control varroa mites. We've developed best practices for soybean growers on how they can manage in their fields to best support and protect pollinators, and we're looking at working on guidance for other specific crops as well. We've been piloting trainings and information for certified crop advisors and applicators to help them look at ways to protect bees. We've run prize competitions to identify new ways to think about bee nutrition. We've developed recommendations to the U.S. Department of Agriculture to think about the use of private land conservation programs and the pollinator forage they can provide. And we've also launched the Bee Integrated Demonstration Project, which is a way of putting all these different best practices together in the same place and showing how collaboration among beekeepers, farmers, and lots of other partners can really make a difference, even more so than doing any one thing in isolation. So those are just a few examples, and there's a lot more at our Honeybee Health Coalition website in terms of the work we're doing, and most importantly, the resources that are available to, you know, different stakeholders to help make a positive impact on honeybee health.
Any idea on that breakdown during overwintering where some of those losses are coming from?
Yeah, that's a really great question, and I always like to defer to the experts at the Bee Informed Partnership and you know, to the beekeepers themselves and helping to explain those losses. You know, some of our members have remarked that it was a bad year for weather, and that could have affected some beekeepers, but there's also all these other factors that we've just been discussing that can play different roles, and it's really impossible to try to prioritize, you know, across these different factors for any one beekeeper's given situation. But we know that those are all influences on honeybee loss that we need to be looking at. And so that's what we're doing as a coalition.
The growing season kicking off in the Midwest, a lot of different crops, obviously, getting started in that region at this point in the season. Any simple takeaways on what farmers might want to think about to help protect the bees and help improve colonies?
Yeah, absolutely. Just thinking about at every stage of the life cycle of your crop, there are different ways to help bees, whether you're planting treated seeds, there are best practices for that. If you're looking to do a foliar application to manage pests throughout the season, there are best practices for that. Obviously, always following the label, but also thinking about the timing of your application, communicating with beekeepers that have hives on or near your land. You know, all of those things are really important to think about. And this is where I'd point folks towards the soybean best practices guide that we developed. There's a longer version as well as a brochure that folks can look at and think about the relationship between best practices for bees and IPM practices more generally. So those are really important things to think about. Also, private lands are a really important source of forage for honeybees and habitat for other pollinators. So we encourage folks to think about, are there opportunities to plant forage, to plant better forage that provides nutrition for bees? Those are all really important things. And again, just emphasizing collaboration and communication. A lot of states have pollinator protection plans that help provide additional ideas as well on how beekeepers and growers and others can work together. But just, you know, starting with that awareness of the fact that honeybees and other pollinators may be present around your fields, and then thinking about the different actions you can take is, you know, that's the first step.
And any last comments to wrap us up with?
Yeah, we just really see as the Honeybee Health Coalition, the great potential for collaborative solutions as a way to help move the needle on honeybee health. And, you know, we've, as I mentioned earlier, brought together a lot of different partners, and we see everyone as having an important role to play, and that in working together, we can identify those opportunities. And that's really a message we encourage everyone to think about in terms of what is the role you can help play in honeybee health.